So I'm going to do just a kind of a 1 week, hey, this is what's on my mind. This is what I'm thinking about. And what I've been thinking about this week is that, you know, I've been following Jesus for 30 years now. I'm 44 years old and trying to figure out this whole thing. And one of the dangers of being a Christian for a long period of time is you forget the essentials. You forget what it's all about, because it becomes about, you know, believing the right things and doing the right things. And it's easy to shift into that kind of focus. But the danger is to think that Christianity is all about following a set of rules. Sometimes it feels like that it's all about, hey, do this, do these things, go this place, and you know, be a good person. And then it's easy to start thinking, that's what it looks like to be a good person? That's what it looks like to be a moral person? That's what it looks like to be a Christian? The good news about the Christian faith, though, is that it's extremely relational. Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. We see this over and over again in Scripture, is that even before people could get their act together, Jesus is inviting them into a relationship and saying, hey, come on, let's hang out together. And so he's engaging people in conversation. He's hanging out with them and their friends, and he's eating with them over meals and hanging out and playing games and laughing and stuff like that. And that's not the way that we picture Jesus. Is we picture Jesus as just being this teacher that he'd kind of go around and he'd teach people, and he'd go to a synagogue or you know, one of those churchy kind of places, and he was really nice, and he would heal people, and he would pray, and he'd do all of those things. But we don't have this picture of Jesus as being this guy that kind of went over to people's houses and hung out and played board games. Well, maybe not. But yeah, he laughed and he hung out and enjoyed good fellowship. And that's the picture that the disciples give us of Jesus. As they give us this picture of a guy who would go into a town and make friends and hang out with people. And we just don't picture Jesus that way. But that's the way that the disciples tell us about him. Is Jesus hanging out with people, Jesus eating with people, Jesus inviting people into relationship. You know, if you were to think about one word that describes the Christian faith, or one word that describes, you know, what it's all about, what would it be? You know, for some of us, it might be belief. Just believe, and we'd maybe add a few words onto that, is believe the right things. You know, for some of us, it would be, is do. You got to do the right things. It's all about doing. What word would you use to describe the Christian faith at its just most basic level? I think that the word that most characterizes the Christian faith is follow. Now, that's a word, a section in a bookstore that you're not going to see. This is the follow section. It's for you to learn how to follow. I was in Barnes & Noble over in Bozeman yesterday, and there's a whole section of leadership. There's actually three big bookcases of books on leadership. That's real popular, is teaching people how to lead. But the interesting thing is Jesus invited us to follow. And it's a relational word. It's the word that Jesus used first before he used any other word. It's the word that describes what he was inviting his disciples into. It's what started them on the journey of their relationship with Jesus, and it preceded everything else. That word, follow. And so I want to show you, it to you in the Bible. And so this is in John chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we have Jesus calling the disciples. And we're told that he goes to call his first disciples. And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He extends to them this formal invitation to be a part of something new. Because they're fishermen. I mean, that's what they do for a living. That's their social life is even kind of hanging out with other fishermen. It was a family endeavor. And so it was a family business. It's the relationships were all based around this family business. And there were a few other friends that were involved too. And Jesus just simply says, follow me. Hey, it's just follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but that just seems really simple. That just seems so easy. Shouldn't it be more complicated? Shouldn't we have to do a bunch of things before we can be accepted by Jesus? Shouldn't we have to be more spiritual? I mean, wouldn't it be a good idea if maybe we went to church for a little while, or maybe we got our act together, and maybe we learned how to sing those worship songs that they're always singing up there, and maybe even just find our way around in a Bible? I mean, shouldn't we have to do those things? Shouldn't that be kind of important before we kind of jump into this whole thing? Before we're accepted by Jesus? And the truth is it just doesn't seem like it. From a scriptural point of view, from a Bible point of view. For instance, in Matthew chapter 9, there's a couple of these instances where Jesus is interacting with the disciples, and we're told early on in Matthew that Jesus is already, he's already said to the disciples, come and follow me, but they're still kind of trying to figure it out. So they're still fishing a lot of the time. And we're going to come back to that, but in Matthew chapter 9, there's another story is that these guys are fishing, and Jesus is just saying, come and follow me, and so we're going to look at that here in a few minutes again, but there's another story of Jesus calling someone to follow him. This is in Matthew chapter 9, and it says that as Jesus was going out from there, otherwise as he's traveling around, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew actually got up and followed him. Now, this may not seem like a big deal at first. Now, for those of you that have grown up in the church, you've been around the church, you maybe read this story in Sunday school, or maybe you've heard a sermon about it, you will have heard some of this stuff before. But the big deal here is that tax collectors were not liked. Tax collectors, they were the scum of the earth in that day. Some of you might say, hey, I kind of like that. I don't like my tax collector either. But this was an even bigger deal. Because when we dig into the history, and when we find out what was going on during that time, it's helpful to know that tax collectors were hated by the Jewish people. They were considered traitors because they worked with the Romans who were occupying Israel at the time. They were co-conspirators with the oppressive Roman government. And so the fact that Jesus would pay attention to a tax collector, much less say, follow me, was at least offensive and at most traitorous. If Jesus' invitation to follow seems too simple, then you can know that you're not alone. Because the religious people of Jesus' day would have said, hey, wait a minute, Jesus, wait, you got this all backwards. You can't just call anyone to follow you. That man should have to change first. I mean, that man should have to repent. That man needs to stop taking advantage of people first. Before he can be accepted, he needs to straighten up. He needs to repent. And then we'll see if he can be accepted. The amazing thing is that Jesus felt very comfortable around the scum of his day. And you might say, hey, Brian, that's a little bit harsh, but no, the equivalent of a tax collector in that day, the equivalent today might mean, And maybe you can fill in a blank here, but it might mean maybe an organized crime boss. I mean, that's the similar thing. Maybe a money launderer. Or maybe on a more simple level, is just a payday lender. Someone who's always taking other people's money at an extreme interest rate and then And then, you know, giving them money at an extreme interest rate in order to just make a killing off of other people in need. Or, you know, if those don't work for you, maybe it would be the equivalent of a drug dealer who's selling drugs at the local grade school. The scum of the earth. And Jesus felt amazingly comfortable around the scum of his day. Jesus was amazingly comfortable around people that weren't like him. Now, that actually might shock some of you. Some of you might be saying, hey, that just kind of seems wrong. And it might seem wrong to you because you feel like, no, I should have to get my act together. I should have to, you know, I should have to be good. I should have to kind of be a better person. And I'm trying to be that, but I'm just not doing very well. And you're saying you know, he shouldn't just accept me. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you're kind of one of those that kind of feels like, you know, people really should have to get their act together. I mean, it's pretty messy out there and there's a lot of messed up people. And you know, before they get into this whole deal of following Jesus, they should straighten up. They should change. But here's the amazing thing is if you're not a perfect person, if you wonder if Jesus would like you, then know that Jesus was amazingly comfortable around people that weren't like him. And you know, the truth is that if Jesus weren't physically present, if Jesus were physically present today, he wouldn't be spending most of his time in a church building. Now, don't get me wrong. I like this right here. I think this is important. It's a good deal. I've been doing this for a long time now. But every once in a while, I'm reminded of the fact that Jesus would not spend most of his time in the walls right here. How do I know that? Well, I think that I can say because when we look in the Bible, we see that he just spent time in different places. It's not that he didn't go to the synagogue. He did. He went to the temple. But he spent most of his time with people. The kind of people that are described in Matthew chapter 9. Now here in Matthew 9:10, in the previous verse it said that Jesus said to Matthew, this tax collector, this scum of the earth, he says, come and follow me. And then it says that while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, now this is always interesting, is Jesus said, hey, come and follow me. And Matthew says, where are we going? And Jesus says, to your house. Oh, okay, what are we going to do there? We're going to have dinner. Oh, really? Who's cooking? You are. Jesus just had this way of, you know, just getting involved in people's lives. And we know that this is true because it says in the next verse that while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors, who else is going to hang out with Matthew? He's the scum of the earth. He's a traitor. No one wants to hang out with Matthew except other tax collectors, and then other scum of the earth. And so you can fill in the blank of whoever you think that that is, but there's these tax collectors and there's these sinners. And why is Jesus spending time with these people? Why is Jesus spending time with these people? If that's a question that you've ever thought about, you know, it's interesting because there were other people that had that question. We're told in the book of Matthew is that there were other people and they didn't go straight to Jesus. They went to Jesus' disciples because in Matthew 9:11, it says that when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Hey, what's the deal here? What's going on here? Doesn't he know that that's just wrong? Doesn't he know that, I mean, those people need to be punished? Those people need to be straightened up. Doesn't he know that? And Jesus' response is interesting because in the next verse it says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. It's not people who think they are well, and this is the way that one interpretation is. It's not the people that think they're okay that need a doctor. It's the people that know that they're sick. You know, if you struggle with things, if you make mistakes, if you fumble and fail and fall, then you know. You know that you're sick. You know that things are not well. You know that life isn't as tidy as you want it to be, and that when you look inside, when you truly look inside, that there's kind of some messiness in there. You have a sense, and we all do, or at least we should, that things aren't well. I'm sick. Now, when my son Levi says that, he says that like it's a good thing. That's so sick. So this is not the good thing, is I'm sick, things are not well. And it's interesting because think about the people that were listening to Jesus, like Matthew. And Matthew is like, hey, wait, who are you talking about? Hey, I think you're talking about me. I mean, that's a little bit offensive. Don't you know that I'm listening right now? And you're saying that I'm not well, that I'm sick, I mean, Jesus, I'm taking that personal. That's kind of offensive, but true. As you know, the truth is that I really am a mess. As the truth is that I shouldn't be accepted. Maybe that's why I chose to do what I've been doing, is because I don't fit, and I know it. There's something about saying, I am sick, I'm not well, that helps us to know what a relationship with Jesus looks like. In Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus says to the Pharisees, remember, he's just said to them, and you know, he either overheard what they were saying or just intuitively or by the Holy Spirit, he knew what they were saying. And he said is hey, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. I know that you guys think that you're healthy, and yeah, that's all fine and good. But there are people that know that they are sick and they need a doctor. And then he says to the Pharisees, he says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He actually quotes Hosea 6:6. Hosea was a prophet of God. Hosea, the book of Hosea is in the Old Testament. You know, if you want to get into the salacious things of the Bible, the just messed up things of the Bible is go to Hosea, because Hosea is a prophet of God, and God tells Hosea to go out and marry this woman, and this woman is a prostitute, and God knows it. And so Hosea follows God's word, and he goes out and he marries this gal who's a prostitute. The thing is that she didn't quit prostituting herself. When she got married, she went out and she continued to commit adultery. And God said, this is the nation of Israel. Always forsaking me, always leaving me, always going out and committing adultery. Hosea, forgive her. Go get her, bring her back home. Love on her, forgive her. I mean, that is just crazy. Most of us don't do that kind of thing. Most of us, if that were to happen, we would want punishment. And Jesus says, you know what I really value is what I really value more than anything else is I value this more than going to church and putting money in an offering plate and prayers. I value it more than prayer is I desire mercy. Mercy. For I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus wasn't content to just hang out with people that believed the right things and did the right things. Now, are those things important? And I would say absolutely yes, they're important. But Jesus didn't require people to believe the right things and to behave the right way before saying, follow me, follow me. There's something just about admitting it and just saying, I know that when it comes right down to it is that I'm not well. I'm more sick than healthy. And, this whole deal, it's not just about believing the right things and behaving the right way, because that's not enough. Now, how do I know that that's not enough? I know because Matthew tells me. Matthew tells me that that's what the Pharisees believed. The Pharisees said, no, you've got to act this way before you can be accepted. You've got to be this way before you can be accepted. And so today, when we talk about Pharisees, is a Pharisee, it's not just a religious leader, it's a person who's judgmental and demanding and who does a lot of this. You need to straighten up. You need to be a better person. You need to knock it off. And they spend a lot of time doing this right here. And it's really tempting to do that. It's really tempting because we all know people that they're making more wrong decisions than right decisions. And I think the danger is that if you have been following Christ for a long time, sometimes it's easy to look at the world and just go like this and just say, would you just knock it off? Quit. Don't you know that that's hurting you and everyone else around you? And the danger is that we're doing this. But here's the interesting thing is what Jesus did is so different because Jesus would say, hey, why don't you come on? Hey, why don't you come on? Let's go out for dinner. Do you see what the difference is? Than this and this. See, this is hey, let's hang out. Hey, why don't you come over instead of hey, just stop it. It's hey, why don't you stop for a little while? Come over to my house. Let's barbecue. Let's hang out. Let's have fun. Hey, let's play a board game. Now, I don't recommend it. I hate board games. But there's something about just spending time with people. I know there's still a few kids in here. There is such a thing as board games. There's not everything on a screen anymore. I don't like board games either, but I don't like them for a whole nother reason. They're boring. And I'm not good at a few things in life, and one of them is playing, and another one is fun. But it is good to be with people and to laugh with people. And, working with Kyle has just been good for me. Those of you that know Kyle, let's just say our staff meetings are very interesting. It's hard to get stuff done when there's someone making jokes all the time. So God gave me Kyle to just loosen me up a little bit and let me laugh a little bit. It's good. I don't mind laughing at him. we have lots of fun. Here's the deal about Pharisees is when there's a lot of this, a Pharisee says, when you change, you can join us. When you change, you can join us. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, hey, come on, follow me. Follow me, come hang out with me. It'll change you. It'll change you. Jesus says, follow me and you will change. And it starts with the word follow. Just take a step in his direction. Now, there is a warning in there. If you follow Jesus for long enough, someday you're going to be challenged to change in ways that you may not feel comfortable with. There's going to be a day when you're going to have more compassion. For everyone. I mean, if you're truly following Jesus, there'll become a day where you're just like, wow, why do I care about that person? Or that? There's going to be a day where you have more mercy. There's going to be a day where you have more forgiveness, even towards people that don't deserve it. There's going to be a day where you're going to have more holiness. Holiness just means to be set apart for God's use. And there's going to be a day where you're going to have more holiness and you're just going to want to say, hey, Lord, I just want more of you. And I want to kind of figure out this whole thing. And there's going to be a day where you'll do different things and where you'll act in different ways. Because if you're following Jesus, if you're really just keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, it's what happens. And a lot of times it happens and then all of a sudden we wake up and say, wow, I'm different and I think I like it. So here's the things to keep in mind. You don't have to get it together before you start to follow. You know, one of the things that I hear in the community is I can't go to church because that's for people who are good. And I want to say, have you met my church? Sorry. I should have said that. I usually follow it up as, isn't the pastor, he's a nutcase. Now I'm embarrassed. You don't have to get it together before you start to follow. Getting it together is not required. Being a sinner is. Being a sinner is a prerequisite to following Jesus. There's something about saying you know what? I know that things aren't right. I know that I'm not right. The other thing is that following Jesus doesn't require full understanding. If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have thought the things that I thought back then. You know, the truth is that the disciples didn't have full understanding. There's one of them that we call Doubting Thomas. When Doubting Thomas heard about Jesus, you know what he said? They said, there's a prophet from Nazareth. And he said, you got to be kidding me. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? That's kind of like our North Dakota jokes. You got to be kidding. And he was doubtful until Jesus, you know, began to show himself to Thomas. And the interesting thing is that when the resurrection happened, you know who were the most doubtful people about the resurrection? Is the men, the disciples. The ladies came back from the tomb and they said, he is risen. And they just said, give me a break. You're a bunch of women. You're emotional. You got your thing going on. They're like, no. And the women have the last laugh because Jesus shows up and all the guys are saying, whoa, it can't be. Really? We told you so. Guys, we just hear it all the time, don't we? And Thomas wasn't there that first time. He says, I will not believe unless I can stick my finger in the nail holes of his hands and put my hand in his side. There's no way. And Jesus shows up and says, got some hands. See, it doesn't require full understanding. It doesn't require just absolutely, you know, understanding and being full of faith. is it takes a little bit of faith. A mustard seed is what the Bible says. Following comes before you know all the rules. It starts with relationship. If you start just by loving Jesus, you'll want to do different things. When you realize how loving God is and how kind he is, how wonderful he is and how much he loves you, you'll want more. The Bible says is that God's kindness leads to repentance. Love leads to obedience. You know, I don't do the right things first in order for me to love Kim or Kim to love me. We love each other, which causes us to want to do the right things. It causes us to want to honor one another, to cherish one another, to care for one another. And for anyone that's been married, it's not easy all the time. Is sometimes we shift back into that is, well, you did this, or you did this, or you don't. And then we got to say, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, I love you, and you love me. And because we love each other, let's walk through this. Let's honor each other. Let's cherish each other. And the other thing is following Jesus shifts my focus from doing things or actions or performance. It shifts it all to Jesus. And then everything else will fall into the right place after that. And the question just is, am I following? Am I following? Now, just something for you as a church right now. We got to be careful. I don't want to be a part of a church that isn't comfortable with the people that Jesus was comfortable with. I don't want to be a part of a church that just sits in its walls comfortable. I don't want to be a part of a church that just spends all of its time doing this. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. And sometimes I am. I want to be the kind of person that doesn't start with this, but rather starts with this. Hey, come on. Let's go to the turtle. Let's have a burger. Tell me about yourself. What are the things that are important to you? Let me get to know you a little bit. Not because I want to change you first, but because I'd really want to know you. Let's get to know each other. And you know, the truth is I'm not good at that. And part of the reason I'm not good at it is because I've been a Christian for 30 years now, from when I was a pretty young kid. And because I spend most of my time hanging out with church people. And I love hanging out with church people. I do. It's also where I'm most comfortable. And I need to get uncomfortable. I need to get comfortable hanging out with people that aren't like me. I need to get comfortable hanging out with people that don't go to church, that don't pray, that don't read the Bible, that maybe don't value the things that I value. I need to get comfortable so that I can say, hey, come on, let's get to know each other. Oh, by the way, maybe someday being able to say, by the way, especially if they say, hey, what's it all about? I know that you're the pastor of that church. This actually happened to a friend of mine in Laurel. He was a pastor in Laurel. And he started spending time with one of the guys in the community that owned a bunch of casinos. They're spending time together and stuff like that. And they met actually in the community. And he just said, hey, we should get together sometime. And he's like, oh, really? You'd want to get together with me? And my pastor friend said, absolutely. Oh, well, where would you like to meet? Do you want me to come to your office? No, I want to come to yours. Do you know what I do? Yeah. And so he went to the casino. And they met together for a year. And the guy, after a year's period of time, said, "What gives? I know you're a pastor. What gives? Why would you spend time with me?" And he said, "Is it because I actually need to spend time with people like you so that you'll see that we're not so different in some ways." He says, "But I think we're different." He said, "If there is a difference, here's the difference, is I follow Jesus. And I'd love it if you'd follow Jesus with me." What would that look like? Ask the question, am I following? What would Jesus call you out of? For the disciples, it meant that they were called out of their occupation. For most of us, we're not going to be called out of our occupation, although that might happen. But what preoccupations might Jesus be calling you out of? The things that have your attention and your focus. And he's saying, "Come and follow me. Come hang out with me." What is Jesus asking you to leave? And what is Jesus inviting you into? Now, here's the thing. I need to emphasize this. Jesus calls you to follow him not because you have something to offer. He calls you to follow him not because you can do anything to please him, not because you have something that he wants, not because he wants you to go to a church or put money in an offering plate. Jesus doesn't call you because you have anything to offer. How do I know that? It's because the Apostle Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth." Can you imagine being the people reading this? What, we're stupid? What, we're know-nothings? Have-nothings? Paul's saying, yep. And then he says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." And then it says, "So that no one can boast." So that no one can boast. It is because of Jesus that you are in him, in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. He is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, is let anyone who boasts, boast in the Lord. You don't have to have it all together. You don't. Would you stand with me and let's close in prayer? Maybe you've never heard that it's about a relationship. Maybe you've never heard that before Jesus asks us to do anything else, he just asks us to follow him. Maybe you're hearing that for the first time today. And I want you to hear his voice, not my voice. I want you to hear his voice. Follow me. Follow me. Well, Jesus, where are you going? Just follow me, and I'll show you. And you're saying, I don't know that I can. I don't have everything together. He says, it's okay, just follow me. But Lord, I'm a sinner. It's okay, I know. Follow me. And you know, the only prerequisite is saying, I am a sinner. And I know that you're the doctor and that you can make me well. And I just want to invite you is that if you're sensing, remember, it's not me saying it, it's Jesus. If you're just sensing, Jesus say, come and follow me. Then you can just respond and say, okay, Jesus, I'll follow you. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'll follow you. As I don't have everything put together. I got a lot of stuff in my life. And so if you're willing, I know that I'm sick. And so if you'll kind of overlook that, if you'll forgive that, if you'll have mercy on that, and your word tells me that you do, then yeah, I'll follow. And if that's your desire, just say, this is okay, Jesus, I'm following. I'm following. I'll follow you. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, and you've kind of slipped into doing the right things and believing the right things and kind of really wanting other people to be that way too, it's just to go back to that invitation is follow me. And you can just say, is Jesus, help me to know what it looks like to follow you. Help me to keep my eyes on you. Knowing that when I keep my eyes on you, everything else will just fall into the right place. Help me to love you. Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to invite people to follow. Come follow me. If that's your desire, just say, okay, Lord, I'm following. I'm following. Father and Lord God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you just hear all of the thoughts and all of the words that each person in here has shared with you. And I know that you do. You hear our prayers. And so, Lord, I thank you. Lord, help us to be more relational this year. Help us to be more inviting this year towards each other and towards people that don't go to church. Father, thank you. Be with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.